Johnson District, and he's in retirement, but his retirement is not like our retirement. Amen. Brother Putnam, God bless you.
I love you. Love you too.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I like what I feel. And I know I'm feeling Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, I tell you, every time I come back here, have you guys started your building program? Amen. I tell you, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, how about you? My soul cries out. Hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. Amen. Praise God. Brother Brownie, thank you for again inviting us to come. I love your pastor and his wife and family. Amen. You love your pastor and his wife and his family. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Brownie. Amen. Retirement? People have asked me, they said, well, how you feel? I said, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm not on a diet. But I sure feel a lot lighter. Amen. It has been an honor. I mean, I can't get over the fact how honored I've been to lead this district for the last 19 years. But you know what? There's a time and a place. You know, you got to understand something in the kingdom, that this is not predicated upon us. This is all about him. It is all about him. Can I get a witness here today? Amen. Praise God. Thank you for your kindnesses. Everybody's so kind and friendly here. And look how the church has grown and continue to grow. And Brother Brownie, it's good to see you. And Brother Chris, things are going to get a lot better. Amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn to the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah. Turn to the 40th chapter and also to the 59th chapter. Amen. Brother Brownie was so kind last night to give Sister Putnam and I a room. We normally just tell him we'll just come down from Plymouth and on Sunday morning, but last night I flew in from South Carolina and was there since Thursday. And here today, and I've been looking forward to this service, and then tomorrow I have to fly to Seattle. I'm on retirement, you know, folks, just... Very familiar scripture, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Why don't you read it with me? Or say it from memory. Now, you're not going to say one of these kind of things, are you? How am I going to sing it? Say it with faith? Huh? With faith. Are you ready? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Do you believe it, church? If Jesus said it, I believe it. The 59th chapter of Isaiah, drop down to the 19th verse, and in the middle of that verse, it says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And listen carefully now. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, God speaking, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now you're going to think I'm just going to be flattering here, but I'm not. I really am not. Did I not say on my way up here today? Now next week, Lord willing, next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching up in Oneida at our North American Indian church. Boy, you talk about shouting. They don't shout, they war whoop. I told my wife on the way up here today, or from the hotel over here, I said, you know, I am just so grateful for these next two Sundays. I get to preach in my two most favorite churches that I get to preach in this district. Amen. Now, you think I'm being flatterous. Yes. Yes. Listen. I want to preach to you today about waiting for the rescuer. Waiting for the rescuer. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, shake their hand, look them in the eye, and say, I need a rescuer. How about you? Hallelujah. Now I want you to lift up your hands to Jesus. Let's lift up your hands to Jesus. Let's all pray. Father, in the power of the name of Jesus Christ, grace us, God, with your Holy Ghost anointing. Grace us, God, with your holiness. Grace us, Jesus, with your, dear Lord, miraculous power today. We love you. We thank you. We praise your great name. In the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Now clap your hands unto the Lord and shout with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Man, no wonder you teach so good, Brother Brownie. No wonder you teach so good. There is an anointing spout right here. Amen. You may be seated. This morning or this afternoon, I want to speak about and focus on the rescuer. Has anybody ever had need of a rescuer? A fireman? A policeman? Somebody to come and help us? An EMT? A doctor? We all need a rescuer, don't we? I thank God for 911. But I also thank God for JESUS. And I believe that we understand for a rescuer to be a rescuer, they must have someone or something to rescue. Webster defines the word rescued as to free from confinement, danger, or evil. I don't know if you remember, but this past July, in the world's headlines, on the world's news, It was seriously, the world's eyes were seriously focused and had great concern for a young Thailand soccer team. For after just finishing a routine soccer practice, as an initiation in starting a new soccer season, their young coach led that young team to go hiking and exploring inside a cave. They meandered some 2.5 miles deep within its walls. They literally ventured over 1.5 mile beneath the surface of the earth. And as they were exploring the cave, a monsoon rain began to fall on the outside of the cavern, and quickly, the cave that they had hiked through became flooded with water. And the passages that they had just gone over were now made impassable. And without any notice, the young team found themselves trapped. Have you ever been trapped? You know, that very word brings up imaginations of being inhibited, being bound, completely unable to freely move about. One of the dictionary definitions of trapped is an unpleasant situation from which it's hard to escape. The world was asking, so why would ever that 25-year-old soccer coach direct and lead those boys into that cave? Boys, I'm talking about from 12, and a couple of them were 18. Church, how many times have you and I, as human beings, got ourselves into some peculiar predicaments just by being curious? Hello. Can I get a witness? There is an old non-biblical proverb that states, curiosity killed. Hey, we all know it. That proverb is used to warn of the dangers of unnecessary investigation or experimentation. Church, can I remind you this afternoon that curiosity in many facets can kill you. It can bring harm to you, both physically and spiritually. It can literally bring forth destruction to your well-being. Now, the dictionary defines curiosity as a strong desire to know or to learn about something. So in light of those boys that were stranded in that cave, I want to speak to you today about a message about being trapped and then waiting on the rescuer. Can somebody say amen? Amen. If you could look in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Samuel, you're going to find King Saul, who was the first king of Israel, feeling just what those boys were experiencing. Saul felt trapped. He felt insecure, knowing not what to do. Because you got to understand, the scripture says that the Philistines had gathered together. There were about 30,000 chariots of them. There were about 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand of which is on the seashore, the Bible says, in multitude. And they came up and they pitched their tents, amen, and they were going to fight against the armies of Israel. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait or that they were trapped, The people were distressed. And you know what they started doing? How'd you like to have an army like this? They started heading for the caves. They started heading for the hills. They started indeed in thickets and rockets. And they even crawled down into some pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan. And Saul, who was in Gilgal, his closest, the Bible says, were trembling. And Saul had tarried 7 days. Now, evidently in this, there must have been some agreement between Saul and Samuel that Samuel was going to come in 7 days. I don't read where the Bible says about that conversation, but from the text, they must have had that agreement. And the seventh day came, and Samuel was still not there. And King Saul felt trapped. With all of these that were coming down upon him to fight against him, he felt trapped. His men were frightened and they ran and hid, and he felt he had to do something. Have you ever been in a spot where you didn't know what to do, but you felt like you just had to do something? So Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. Now that sounds very religious. Because Saul knew that he needed God's help. But in his fearfulness, he literally felt like he had been abandoned by Samuel. So feeling trapped, he panicked. And that's where we have to beware of, church. And so he proceeded to do what was not lawful for him to do. Saul was not a priest. He was the king. He took matters into his own hands and he sacrificed the burnt offering. And as soon as he did so, guess what? Samuel shows up. You see, folks, the seventh day had come, but the seventh day was not over. And Samuel showed up just as he said. And Samuel said to Saul, "What hast thou done?" Saul says, because I saw that the people were scattered from me and that thou camest not within the days and appointed, and the Philistines gathered themselves together. And therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said, "Thou hast done foolishly." Listen, church, when we get in dire straits and we don't know which way to go, don't go after some foolish religious deal that sounds good and that sounds right, but it may not be what God wants for you at all. And consequently, Samuel said, "Thou hast done foolishly, and thy kingdom shall not continue, because the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be the captain over his people." You see, church, because of Saul's lack of patience, hello, and his lack of faith, because of his unwillingness to wait, it cost him his throne and ultimately his wife. Did I say wife? I meant life. Please understand. Listen to me. And I hope this doesn't apply to any of us in this room. But Saul's faith had a self-made time limit. And he disobeyed the Lord because he did not wait. Everybody say, wait. The prophet of God said 7 days, and he came during the seventh day. But Saul made the mistake of not giving Samuel the full day. Church, I've come to tell somebody here today, God is always on time. He is never too early, and he's never too late. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord. Brothers and sisters, put all this into perspective about those trapped boys. As the water flooded the cave and they realized that they were trapped, I'm sure that neither their coach or those young players ever in their wildest thoughts ever imagined that as they walked into that cave that they would not be able to walk out. But like King Saul, I'm positive that they didn't plan on being trapped. Huh? But let's be honest with ourselves this afternoon. How many of us, out of our own curiosity, throughout our own lives, at one time ventured to take a hike? You know, it was that first drink of alcohol. It was that first drag of the weed. It was that first hit of an illicit drug. Perhaps it was that first look at pornography, or it was that first wink of a flirting eye, or that first ingested bit of bitterness, or that first decision and of unwillingness to forgive? Or was it that first attitude of arrogance that led to a blinding pride in your life? Listen to me, church. None of us ever purposely planned to get trapped. Can I get a witness? We didn't purposely plan to get trapped in sin and in vice, but we did. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For all have sinned." I don't care who you are. I don't care what your position is. I don't care how much your bank account has. I don't care what kind of a house you live in or a car that you drive. I'm telling you, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is just not for Americans. That is for every soul on this planet, my friend. I'm telling you, church, sin will always cost us more than we plan to pay. It will always take us farther than we plan to go. And it will always keep us longer than we plan to stay. Hey, I knew I was sinning, and so did you. I knew that I was trapped in my sin. We were bound. And if we'll be honest this afternoon, we never thought that there would ever be a way out. So we just tried to hide it, which made us good hypocrites. But because everyone else was in the same condition, we excused ourselves and justified our trapped situations. I want you to know that that soccer coach could have made a grave mistake in trying to lead those boys back out of that cave, trying to go through the water, not knowing what to expect. He could have led all 12 of them to their deaths, but he didn't. He simply had them wait. Now, I don't think I need to state to you about how hard it is for us as humans to have the patience to wait. You and I have been socially engineered for obtaining instant results, instant gratifications. We want what we want, and we want it now. God, I need patience, and I need it now. Can I get a witness? And having a lack of patience is simply a human curse, which has led many to their own physical and spiritual destruction. Jesus himself said, in your patience, possess. Everybody say, possess your soul. You see, Brother Brownie, those boys waited for 10 long days. Now, I don't know all the particulars. I don't know from their soccer practice if they had flashlights or not. But even if they had the best ever ready batteries, if they had the bunny himself in their energizers with them, more than 10 days in a completely dark cavern. Have you ever been in a cave where you couldn't see anything? Huh? I have been in a cave where I put my hand in front of my face and could not see it. So when indeed whatever one had the last flashlight and it went out, I'm telling you, my friend, they were sitting in absolute darkness. In church, our problem was being trapped in our sins and our own in debaucheries. It was so dark, but we couldn't see it. Why? Because we thought everybody else is doing it. We must be okay. I'm telling you, church, we were not okay. We needed a rescuer. They didn't have any food. They literally were licking the moisture that dripped off the rock walls. But after their long wait, on that 11th day, there was just sitting on a kind of a rounded, large rock. But all of a sudden, from underneath the water, there was a light that began to come to the surface. Amen. And pretty soon, a man in scuba diving, amen, gear came up out of the water, and immediately those boys, amen, felt faith. They felt hope. They felt, amen, that they had an opportunity to be rescued. I don't know about you, but I remember the day when the light of the Word of God first touched my heart. All of a sudden, I felt I had hope. I felt I had a chance. But I want you to know something. That scuba diver then says, okay, guys, follow me. Oh, no. It was much more complicated than just follow the leader. They had to come up with a plan. God, who from the very beginning, Brother Chris, came up with a plan. From the very foundations of the world, he had came up with a plan. It was not sending, amen, his son, amen, as I mean separate than himself, to go down to the world. Oh, no, no, my friend. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy might and strength. Somebody shout hallelujah. There is only one God. Do you realize that they realized that, or that the professionals realized that some of those boys couldn't even swim? Let alone know how to use sophisticated scuba diving equipment. So they waited. They even had one man from the rescuing team that went in and started part of the plan to start ever so often putting in a new canister of oxygen along the way, so that as they were going through, they could still breathe the oxygen that they needed, even though that it may have been underwater. Oh, I want you, the Holy Ghost, to talk to you right now, my friend. We're still in a journey, bro. We're still in a journey. Amen. We're still, amen. This world is not our home. We are just traveling through. Hallelujah. Come here, Brother Malcolm. Come here, Brother Anthony. Come here. Come on, come on, come on. Do you feel like rescuing me today? Huh? You feel like rescuing me? You got me? Are you sure you got me? I want you to know, you better be sure that Jesus Christ has got you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me. And at the end of that psalm, it says this: surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all. Somebody say all the days of my life. Hallelujah. They literally strung a lifeline for 2.5 miles, 1/2 mile deep. And then on the 16th day, it was time to make a step of faith. Now, church, you're not going to have this thing all figured out. You and I don't even know what's going to face us tomorrow. But I know who holds tomorrow. Is there anybody else in the house that knows who holds tomorrow? Do you realize that what that man that was stringing out oxygen tanks, that he died? He died so that others, Brother Lungaria, would be able to have life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Hallelujah. You know what they did for those 6 days? They started bringing in scuba diving gear. They started teaching these young boys about getting used to the mask. I said, well, what does that have to do with us as Christians? Well, you know what? We just don't. You know what? Being a Christian is not a 12-step deliverance program, my friend. I know there's a group that says, I'm an alcoholic and I'll be an alcoholic the rest of my life. Amen. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Well, bless God. But I'm telling you, I know a rescuer that is also a deliverer that can absolutely deliver you. So we don't just railroad people and getting to be saved. Huh? We just don't pull people to the altars. So we do what your dear pastor does. We teach. And we keep on teaching the Word of God. And the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But there comes a time, church, where every one of us has to make a beginning step. And you know what's amazing to me about this story? I don't know about you, but I was praying for those boys. So what do you mean, Brother Putnam? They're all Buddhists. All but one was a Buddhist. Do you think God cares whether you're a Buddhist, a Muslim, or whatever? God's not willing that any should be lost. Let that sink in a little bit. So when they announced to the team that now's the time, you know what I didn't read in the news request or the newspaper? What I didn't see on the newsreels? Not one of them said, I'm not going. Hello? I'm staying. I'm not taking the chance. Isn't that unreal? Just because we are all sinners, amen, saved by the grace of God. But my friend, there comes a day where you got to make up your choice, amen, that there is only one way for you to be saved. And it's not by your own power of thought. It's not how you think it should be done, but it's according to thus saith the word of the Lord. And when they asked Peter, they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And ye shall receive the gift of the promise of the Holy Ghost. Is there any Holy Ghost filled people in this house today? Is there any people in here that have been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ? Is there anyone here? Is there anyone here that had to take that first step? You had no idea. I had no idea. All I knew is I was lost. I was trapped. And I needed a rescuer. Come here, Brother Brownie. Brother Neraldo, come here. We want to rescue you. Is that okay? Turn around facing the audience.
Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hey, listen. Listen, church. See this man over here? He's going to preach some things that you don't agree with. And your carnal nature will tell you, your fallen nature will tell you, who does he think he is? Who does he think he is? Trying to tell me what I should be doing or what I shouldn't be doing. I'll tell you who he is. He's God's rescuer, representative. Amen for your soul. Obey them that have the rule over you. Because I'll tell you, come on, Brother Bradley, I'll tell you what we're trying to do. We're just trying to get everyone to get to the end of the dilemma of this entrapment, that we can all be free. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Stand with me. They that wait. You know what Jesus told his apostles at the Mount of Ascension? Go back and wait for the promise of the Father. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Do you realize when those, and all of them got out, all of them were saved. From physical sight, all of them were rescued. And the world rejoiced. And you know what? When you saw them in the hospital pictures, every one of them had a smile on their face. Every one of them were thankful. I see some people with some smiles on their face in this room today. I see some people that are happy here today. Why? Because you know, He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song. He put a song in my soul today. A song of praise. Hallelujah. Paul put it this way. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Church, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, I've been there. How about you? I reported to you last December what happened to my wife in November. And the enemy was coming in like a flood. Matter of fact, she was drowning in her own lungs. And the doctor said to my son and I, when we asked if we could go pray for her, he said, well, make it quick. And when I went in, honey, I didn't know that was going to be the last time I would see you alive or not. But I know this, when we got done praying and it was just a couple of minutes. But you know what? God doesn't need a whole long discourse. He just needs an honest heart. Actually, you just need to dial up J-E-S-U-S. My son and I got back to that waiting room, hadn't even sat down, and the doctor came flying out of the room, and he says, wow, I don't know what happened, but everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. Everything. I know who did it. The rescuer, the redeemer, the mighty God. Church, no wonder we're faithful to his service. Why? Because once we were blind, but now we see. Once we were lost, but now we're found. That's why Rehoboth has been around here for a long, long time. That's why your pastor has been here the last 9 years, and I believe he'll be here until Jesus comes. Once we were lost, but now we're found. Once we were trapped, but now Satan has no hold on us any longer. I'm telling you, somebody needs to shout this afternoon about your freedom. Somebody needs a fresh touch of God's grace and mercy. Somebody needs to be let out of their entrapment. Somebody needs to rejoice. Why don't you grab hold on some grace today? Matter of fact, why don't you be the rescuer right now for your neighbor right now and take him by the hand and lead him up here. Amen. Like you're leading them out. Because I'm telling you, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Go ahead and sing whatever you want to sing. Hallelujah. Church, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Why don't you lift your hands out of surrender to God? Why don't you allow a fresh touch? Why don't you stop by one of those oxygen tanks and get a fresh touch of his Holy Ghost? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.